To help. Oh, okay. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Brother Toby, I might be just a little bit too loud on this thing. I just feel a ring. I'll let you figure that out. But okay, Proverbs 2, stand when you find it. I haven't had you stand even one time tonight. We didn't stand in the first scene either. We're going to read 1 through 9. And while we read this passage, I'm going to do some working out. So just bear with us here. Oh, man, I thought this was long enough. I have to do it like this. Hang on a second. I got to get, you know, you got to make sure you're geared up when you're going to do a workout. Okay. Whew. Yeah, that's better. All right, here we go. What'd you say?
The karate.
The karate. That's right. This is kind of like karate, isn't it? Or Rambo. Either one. That both works. All right, here we go. Verse number 1. I'm not going to do this the whole time. I don't think I physically can. But you get the point, right? Okay, verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice, liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I think that's what we want, right? We want every good path. We want verse number 5, the fear of the Lord. You'll have that understanding. You'll find the knowledge of God. So really everything that we're searching for in life, God says you'll get it if you'll just do this. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got that part done. So now we need to do some of this. You can't take him serious, right? Tonight we're going to talk about God's fitness program.
Amen.
God's fitness program. Y'all ready to work out tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessing on our message. Help us to get out of it what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. Messed my hair up. All 7 of them. Let's not forget that Proverbs chapter 1 through 9 was a letter from a father to a son. That's a pretty awesome thought. So every time you read Proverbs, it's written by Solomon. Yeah, it's who's used of God to give us, pen the word of God. But when he wrote it, he was writing it to his son Rehoboam, and the idea was that he wanted to give him something that was really absent in the world around him. And what is that? Strength. He wanted him to be strong, you know. But to be strong, you know, it doesn't just happen. I mean, you have to apply some things to your life. You have to do some things if you're going to become strong. And Solomon knew that. So he would say things over and over again. He would say stuff like this. He'd say, my son, give me thine heart. Well, why would he say that? Because he wants his son to have something that really the world isn't going to give him. He's not going to get it out there in the world. You're not going to get it at school, you know, generally speaking. You're not going to get the things of God at school. You're not going to get it watching TV. You're not going to get it in the system of this world. So Solomon said, what you need to do is you need to watch me and let your eyes observe my ways, and through that making application to your life. He wanted his son to be strong. Go to real quick, keep your place here in chapter 2, but look at chapter 4. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. In verse 1 it says, hear ye children, this is Solomon to his son. He's continuing on. He says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I, he's saying, speaking here of his words, he's saying, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And then he said this, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So what he's saying is, I have a message and you need to watch me, watch my life, receive the message, and it'll make you stronger. And he needs that. Well, that's Solomon to his son. That's God to you and me. I want this for my children too. You know, I desire my kids to be strong in the Lord, not just like physically strong. You know, I don't feel like some sort of gratification because maybe one of my kids can do more push-ups than your kids, you know. I wonder though, you know, we might have to figure that out later. But that's not what makes somebody great, physical strength, you know, spiritual strength. And Solomon said, I'm going to equip you with the things that you're going to need. You know, I'm going to put you in a position to give you the tools that you need, the equipment that you need, so you can work out and become the kind of strong Christian that you need to be. It can't work out for you, but I can provide you with the equipment so that you can work out and be the kind of strong Christian that you need to be. He wants that for his son. I want that for my kids. God wants that for you and me. He wants that for us. And we need that. Why? Because we're weak. Some of you are weak. You know, some of you are more weak now than you were last week. Or maybe you're more weak now than you were last month, or back when we were at camp, or when we had revival. You're more weak now than you were then. You know? So why is that? Because becoming strong isn't something that you just have it and then you just have it forever. You know, how many of you have ever been in good shape before? I mean, you feel like you've been in pretty good shape before. Okay. Not very many hands went up, but okay. So, how many of you would admit you've been in better shape than you are right now? Okay. Yeah. All the hands went up. Hey, that's not good though. That means we're all out of shape. Okay. So what does that mean then? It means you don't get in shape and then, I got it. And you never have to work out again. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, you could just do like this and get big biceps and then eat potato chips and whatever for the rest, and you just, it'll always be there. But it doesn't work like that. If you're going to be strong, then you have to keep working out. If you're going to be, it's the same spiritually. If you're going to be strong with God and in the spiritual sense, if you stop working out, you will become weak and flabby. Like literally and spiritually, you'll become that. So then what does that look like? Well, it looks like you know more about music than you know about God. It looks like this. You know more about movies or video games than you know about God. Or you know more about the things that are out there in this world than you know about the things of God, because the investment of your time is not spent working out on the spiritual areas, but you've given your time, investing your time and your heart, by the way, in the things of this world, so you become knowledgeable. I remember when I was in college, and I was in college to become a pastor, and so my heart was invested in that. But I also love football. I love college football. I still do, actually, but I really liked it then because I lived in Oklahoma City. I lived in actually close to Norman, and I was all my life an Oklahoma Sooners fan. I need to labor on this for a while. We got some sinners out there. And I went to the home games, like for a lot of years in a row, and I was privileged to get to do that. But I didn't just go to the games. Like I looked online and I read about the stats. And I would sit, maybe, I remember when Melissa and I were, you know, together, and we would go to a game, and she'd say, who's number so-and-so? And I'd say his name, I'd say how much he weighs, I'd say his height, I'd say, you know, where he went to high school. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to know, but I knew it, because I spent time, I invested my time learning those things. You know, I think what happens today is people spend a lot of time learning about the stuff of the world, the fashions of the world, the trends of the world, the TikTok and the Facebook and all of that stuff of the world, the dances of the world, and all the things associated to those things, but then you don't know God. You don't know His mind. You don't have His heart. And so, yeah, maybe you know this stuff in the world, but and maybe you can say, well, I have this kind of worldly wise, that's a word, right? That's a phrase. So you have this world wisdom, but you don't have spiritual strength. You're weak spiritually. Yeah. That can happen. And my guess is that there's some of that that's happened in some even now. sometimes we seek popularity. Now, this isn't just a teenager thing, you know, where kids want to not be the nerd in the youth group. Who's the nerd in the youth group, by the way? Do you admit it, Alex? No, you're not. I don't think you're the nerd. I did give a hard time. Anyway, I won't say that. But I, so popularity for some kids is important. But it's not just a teenager thing. Because sometimes our image matters more to us than the gospel, sometimes. Where Jesus is working in us through his word. I mean, Christ is working in us. And he's saying things like we heard just a minute ago from Brother Tim. He's telling us, I want you to talk to your coworkers, or I want you to talk to your neighbors, or I want you to talk to these people, or I want you to take a stand for Christ in the midst of a group of people who aren't, you know. And so you need to say something, but you're every, you know, like all of those feelings of not wanting to not be liked sort of kick in. And you think, well, I just won't say anything. When God is telling you to say something, he's saying, I want you to invite them to church. I want you to be a testimony. I want you to tell them about Jesus. But our concern about losing status and popularity sort of gets in the way of that. And so then we don't tell people. But that's a danger. That's a spiritually weak place to be, right? And by the way, it's a really dangerous place to be too for those that are lost. Why? Because one day, if we don't tell them, and God is working in us to tell them, we're not even giving them a chance. And then one day, like the rich man, they'll lift their eyes up in hell. That's what it says of the rich man. Don't turn there, but in Luke 16, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Well, you're not going to be able to hurt their feelings any more than they're going to be hurting when they're in hell. So even if you're not popular, we need to stand for Christ, don't we? But why won't we stand for Christ? Because we're not strong. And why aren't we strong? Because we haven't been working out. We need that strength. Sometimes we make decisions, don't we? Aren't you girls glad about the decisions you made at camp? Boys, those of you who made decisions at camp, aren't you glad about those decisions? Yeah. You know, those decisions about surrendering, giving up bad habits, breaking off, you know, wrong commitments, changing your language, changing your viewing habits, changing where you go. And the list is longer than that. All these changes, we made those changes because God's working in us, and those are great decisions. But it's not over just because you made that decision. It's not just like it's all easy now because you did it. Ah, I'm so glad I did that. And now it's easy. No, it's not just that it's easy now. Now, if you're going to maintain what God did in you or has been doing or is doing in your life, if it's going to be maintained, if you don't work out, you're not going to be strong enough. You'll become weak. And some of you, I would say, without knowing, but knowing, if you know, because I know how we are as people, I know how I am, that we have become weak, and some of us have went back already on things we know God has been dealing with us about. And so we need that strength. We need it. Spiritual strength is like fitness. I know this is going to be hard for some of y'all to believe. Probably all of you. I don't know. I'm 5'8 with my shoes on. 5'8 and a half. You throw that half in there when you're short, right? So I used to be able to dunk it. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I know. Pretty awesome, right? I can't even barely touch the net now. So at the court down here we've been playing, and sometimes the ball gets stuck between the rim and the backboard. You know what I'm talking about, guys? So just like you're shooting it and it just gets stuck. Well, when I was young, it was like, hang on, I'll get it, guys. I would just jump up there, grab the basketball right out of it. So that happened the other day. And I was like, okay, guys, hang on. Back up, man. I was way back. I'm like, they're like, Dad, are you ever going to go? Give me a second. You know, I took off running and I jumped and it just didn't go up. Like, it just was just like, whew. I mean, it had to be this far at least from the basketball. It was awful. So, yeah, it isn't there. Why? Well, Okay, so I'm not as young as I used to be, but the fitness isn't what it used to be either. What we need is spiritual fitness. What we need is strength that only God can give us. God, in this passage, through Solomon to his son, from a father to his kids, from God to you and me, he said, if you do these workouts, there's only two of them, if you do them, you will become strong. If you stop doing these workouts, you will become weak. And then we know what happens after that. Okay, so let's look at them. He gave these simple, I call it this, God's spiritual fitness program, or Solomon's simple plan for maintaining spiritual strength, however you like that. Number one, lift the Bible. Lift the Bible. Ready? Verse 1. Now, okay, so I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to count. Some of you, raise your hand if you're good at English. Okay. Raise your hand if you know what a verb is. Okay, more hands. There we go. All right, count the action verbs in this passage that relate to what you're supposed to do with the Bible. Okay? Number one, verse number one. My son, if thou shalt, or if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. How many was it? Eight. Good job. Good job. I didn't actually count, so I hope you're right. Eight. No, I'm kidding. It was eight verbs. Now, they're verbs, though. These are verbs, action verbs. So here's what God's saying. The Bible isn't something you can do and just, like, wake up in the morning. I'm glad for those of you who read your Bible. I'm not minimizing that. I don't want you to think I'm minimizing if you read your Bible. That is very important, and it's very good. It's a good step. But what you didn't see here is God tell us that we just need to read the Bible every day. He actually gave us eight action verbs that are all connected to what you're supposed to do when you look at your Bible. You're supposed to actively search and receive and incline and lift. You know, so there's a lot of things that need to happen when we're in the book. The Bible needs to be something that's an active pursuit in our life and actively working at it. And I don't understand a Bible. Hey, listen, you know what that is? In some cases, it's okay. It's okay you don't understand. Just keep working at it. But I'm gonna say something boldly here, that sometimes I don't understand the Bible is just laziness. You're not actively trying to figure it out. God says, God isn't just saying, read your chapter for the day. He's saying, work at it. Because you need this. This is something that needs to be a workout. You know, like, you want to be strong, you got to work at it. You can't just show up, you know. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Remember I said I couldn't jump high enough to get that ball out? I also try to race my kids. That used to be better than it is now. But I can still win, though. But I have to cheat. Like, I have to trip them, you know. Or just stand in front of them and sort of do the blockade thing. Like, I don't trip them, but you know what I mean. I can still win. So why is that? Well, remember what Paul said when he said, talked about running the race? He said we need to lay aside every what? Weight. You want to win the race? You got to lay aside the weight. That's what Paul said. Well, what needs to happen for you and me is we need to have a fitness. And if we're going to do this and we're going to be strong, then we're going to need to lay aside the weights, like the excess stuff, and we're going to need to work at understanding the Bible. So sometimes it's memorizing it, sometimes it's studying it, but it's always falling in love with it. It's always falling in love with it. We need to have a love for the Bible. You don't read your Bible, guys, because you have to. Right, I read my Bible today. Well, I had to. Well, I had to, I guess, is better than not at all, but we need to have love for it. I mean, we need to crave it. like Jesus said, to hunger and to thirst after. That's what we need. We need to be looking forward to the sermons.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Sure.
We need to look forward to the sermons. Why? Because it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And we're going to hear from God. We're going to hear from His Word. And when we hear from His Word, we hear from Him, don't we?
Sure.
And maybe you'll hear illustrations and stuff. But the idea of illustrations is just to help us understand the Word of God, not to entertain us. We need to fall in love with the Word, to hear the messages, and to have that kind of love. I remember when I started to fall in love with the Word of God, I was in high school, and it was first a teenager. I've told this story, but he was reading his Bible, and that affected me. I saw a teenager reading. He was excited about it, and that affected me because I read the Bible sometimes, but I was never excited about it. But he was excited. Like, he was getting things out of the Bible. He was so excited and into it that he read the Bible, he understood it, it touched him, and he was so excited about it, he had to tell me. I've never done that, not up until that moment. And it inspired me, it touched me. I wanted that. And then I remember, I think it probably would have been just that year going to summer camp, they gave these booklets out to all the kids at camp. And these booklets were for the whole week. And what it had in it was like the schedule for the week, but it also had a thing called God and I time. And so what you were challenged to do, and they gave points, and they had different things they did to encourage the kids to do this God and I time. But they actually had a time during the day. You know, like at our church camp, we have nap time, which is pretty incredible. After lunch, 30-minute nap time. Brother Chad referenced that.
State law.
It is state law. Well, at our camp, when I was growing up, they gave you 30 minutes in the morning before sessions began, and it was called God and I time. And in that bracket of time, you grab your journal, open your Bible, and do the Bible lesson for that day. And I was excited about it. It was the first time, other than watching my friend excited, that I got excited about studying the Bible. That's what we need every day. We need to have an excitement to be in the Word of God, not just to say we did it or to check it off the list, but to have an excitement, a passion, a heart for the Word in our studies, and then also the preaching. God's grace will become God's grace will work in us through His Word, strengthening us. And so in God's fitness program, number one, you got to lift the Bible, but it's more than just saying that you read it. Okay? Number two, I feel like this is just as key as number one. You have to do both. So one is lift the Word. Number two is walk on God's path. I could say walk with God, but it's to walk on God's path. Look at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom and for the righteous. Notice this. He is a buckler to them that, say those next words.
Walk uprightly.
And so there's a walk that needs to be connected to our life. Not just that we, you know, say one thing, but that we do what God is leading us in our life. Being a doer of the Word, not a hearer only, right? We talked about that so many times. Remember what Jesus said? He that heareth these sayings of mine, I'm going to try not to trip over that. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who builds his house on the rock. But notice He said, hears and does them. So it's your walk. It's not just what you know. It's whether or not you walk in it. I remember... this has been several years ago, but I've hiked at Grand Canyon a lot of times, and in one of those times it was a group from the church that went there from Phoenix, and one of the guys that was going hiking, he kept bragging about how in shape he was. And we're thinking, okay, you know, great. It'll be exciting, you know. He'll be able to pump out the Grand Canyon no problem because he's in such great shape. So he was saying, right? So we get there and we start hiking down into the canyon, and note that I said hiking down into the canyon. I don't know if you know this, but like when you're going downstairs, you have a lot of gravity helping you with that, you know. So you're not using nearly as many muscles as you're going to use when you're on your way back out, which is why people get in trouble, because they think, oh, this is easy. Yeah, but you're going down. Wait till you turn around and try to get out. Now it's a different story. But anyway, he starts hiking down. We get halfway down, which is, it's 7 miles into the canyon. We're only halfway in, and he's like sitting down on rocks. He was like, oh man, this is, and I'm thinking, wait a second. You're already hurting, and we're only halfway in? We're supposed to go in, hike across, and 11 miles out. So how's this going to go? Well, he finally got down to the bottom, and he was spent. Just getting into the canyon, he was spent. We hiked across this area, got to this, to this section on the other side on the hike out, and to where the marshal's cabin was, and he had to stop there. He spent the night in the canyon sleeping on a picnic table with squirrels crawling all over him all night. Or chipmunk, whatever they are. Those weird looking things that are in the canyon. Google it later. So how creepy is that? Well, that was him. Why did that happen? Well, he said that he was in good shape, but he wasn't in as good shape as he was saying. Here's the point. It doesn't matter what you said. What matters is your walk. It doesn't matter that you can say that you have a walk. It matters that you have a walk. That's the things that matter. People can say one thing and live another thing. And I will tell you, it happens a lot. People can say one thing and live another thing. We talked about music a minute ago. People can say, I want to follow God, but then they have the worldly music on their phone and in their car. And you can say that I want to have a walk with God. You can say that. But your walk is saying something else. You understand? Your walk. Question. Does God approve of your music? You don't have to answer that out loud. You can say, I listen to good music on Sundays. Well, that's not what I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you, it's one thing to say, I want to live for God. But then your walk isn't matching what you're saying. We can all do that. And in some cases, we do that, don't we? But here's what's wrong whenever you're living this way. Look up here. It's not funny, by the way. And I'm not saying you're laughing at me, but maybe you are. If you are, you should feel bad. If your walk isn't matching what you're saying, then here's the point. That you're not strong. Because here's what Solomon is saying. Here's where strength comes from. Strength doesn't come from what you say. Strength comes from your work, your walk. You have to be walking if you're going to be strong. If you're not walking it, it doesn't matter what you say. You're weak. And you will continue to become more weak. And let's not be surprised that when we are weak, that we also have other kinds of spiritual issues that are a part of our life. And we lose our temper and we have serious anger problems. Or we have, sometimes it's true that we're one way at church and another way at home. Sometimes that's true. So when we're at church, we're nice to everybody. Hi, brother. Hi, Mrs. So-and-so. And we're nicer. But then when we go home, watch out. Paint peels off the walls, you know. We yell or we cuss or we. So we're one way here and we're another way there. So here's what God is saying. What makes you strong isn't what you say. What makes you strong is your walk. You need to be walking. You need to be walking. I have more, I won't keep going on. So if you maintain your spiritual fitness, we need to finish, then what can you expect? What can you expect in your life if you maintain this spiritual fitness? Well, verse 5, look at it. And this is if you're lifting the word of God in your life. Then, he said, God says, thou shalt have that, I'm sorry, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So lifting the word of God in your life will give you understanding of the fear of God. You'll find the knowledge of God in life. What does that mean? It means that as you're lifting the word of God and you're taking it serious and you love the preaching and you love to hear from God and you love to study and you love to be in the word and God is sharpening and he's working in you and he's touching you and he's leading you down his path. And here's what God says, I will give you. Then you will possess these things, a kind of strength that does what? God will use this to give you wisdom in decisions in life. By the way, we have a lot of decisions that we need to make in life. And you know what we need in all of them? God's wisdom. And you can only have strength in God's wisdom through the lifting of his word in your life. God's mind, that's another way to say it, so that we think like God thinks. Then you'll have that. Verse 9, if you're walking the path, by the way, you're not just saying it, but you're walking it. And then God says this will happen, verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, every. Note this, every good path. Walking God's path, God says, I'll show you the good path. We want the good path. We don't want the bad one. We want to be on God's path. God says, you walk the walk. Walk with, you know, in God's path, then I'll show you the good path in life. You know what the good path is? The good path is the path that you can walk and not look back with regrets. How many of us, you don't have to even raise your hand, but in your heart, how many of us have regrets? Yeah. When did that happen? When we weren't walking on God's path. God says, you walk the walk. You walk. And don't just say it, but you walk God's path. Then I will show you the good path, which will lead you to a life where you can look back and say, I don't have any regrets about this. Amen to that. You can't have that kind of strength if you won't walk it, if you won't walk on God's path. And by the way, you neglect your workouts. These two simple workouts, you know, you neglect them, then you will become weak. And you'll look up one day and you'll have chosen the wrong path. In fact, you'll have chosen the path that you wanted to avoid all the time. Like this is, you'll look back one day because you were weak in weak moments and in those weak times because we haven't been working out, you know. And we chose a path and we'll look back and we'll say, man, how did I get here? Years ago when I made decisions for God, this is what I wanted to avoid. You know how you did that? You know how you got here? Because you were weak. And in those times of weakness, the devil gets in, you know, and we get on the wrong path. And thank the Lord for his mercy, right? Because you can get right with God anytime. Amen. We talked about that on Sunday night. The ball's in your hands. You can get back with God anytime. But that doesn't mean in the decisions we've made leading up until then that we won't look back with some regrets. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you could just put your gym clothes on and then suddenly you're like, whew, that was a good workout. What did you do? You just put your clothes on, you know. Like you just, all you did is you just put the thing on, man. I have went to the gym. I used to, anyway. Cost too much money. Anyway, I went to the gym and people would come in and they would have their headbands on. I wish I had one of those sweatbands. That's what I was going for here, but got to use what you have, you know. And they would come in, they'd have their workout clothes on, and they'd have their sweatbands on, and they're ready to work. But the problem is they're just standing around talking to everybody. You don't get strong when you go to the gym and you stand around and you talk to everybody. Last time I checked, talking about working out doesn't make you stronger. Or putting on the clothes, the workout clothes. That doesn't make you stronger either. If you have to work. And then there's the guy that goes in there, and he doesn't want to do a lot of talking because he's there to work, right? And he's usually the guy that's walking around like this. You can't put his arms down. I think there's a line on how much you can work out, and it's too much. But anyway, so the guy's fit. You could tell he's working. He's putting it in. Why? Or why is he fit? Why is he strong? Because he's not talking about working out. He's working out. That's what we need. What we need is to work at understanding the Bible and loving it and being in church. And that's work, by the way, isn't it? Sometimes just being here. Well, we need to be here because we need to be excited about what God's going to give us when we're here. And we need to be in it every day, and we can't be content with, don't talk when I'm preaching, guys. I know you've been, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but I don't know what you're talking about, but it doesn't matter. Just listen, I'm almost done. So, it doesn't matter if, it doesn't help if you just read it every day. I mean, it helps, but understand what I'm saying here is we need to do, we need to want more than just having our little bubble of, or our little structure of just reading it every day. We need to work at it so that we get it. God will use His Word to work in your heart. As you work out, He'll work in your heart. He'll use it so that you'll have understanding and wisdom and decisions in life. And then that walk, guys, it doesn't help. We're not getting stronger by talking about it. We're not getting strong because we dress up, you know, because we look like we're strong for God. We have to walk the walk. We have to walk with God on His path. And I know that that's work. It's work. But it was always meant to be work. Because we're spiritually working out in the Word and in our walk. And God says, you do this, just these two simple things. Then you'll be strong. Every good path. Every good path. And that's what we want. And God will give you that. You have to be committed to it. Let me ask you a couple of questions and we'll be done. Well, let me make some statements, then I'll give you some questions. This is as it relates to God's spiritual fitness program. Statement number one, you're weak because you're not hungry for the Word. Let me say that again. You're weak. If there's weakness there, it's because you're not hungry for the Word. You're weak because you're talking and not walking. And then the last statement is spiritual weakness is related to those two things. So strength is related to being in the Word and walking. Now some questions. Are you hungry for the Word? Have you been saying one thing but walking another thing? Are you weak in your stand for God? Then we need to get in shape tonight. We need to say, God, I'm ready to get back at it. Ugh. Yeah. Get back on the treadmill. Walking. Getting it going. Get on the track. Get back in shape. Yeah. Father, I pray your blessings tonight. And the message. And Lord, it might be that there's some tonight that were touched in a way that maybe is just what was needed. And we know that you know that. And that's enough. And so I pray that you'll do, Lord, a continued work in the hearts of those who need to just get back shaped up for you. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word and your precious name. We pray, amen. Let's stand together.